Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and I'd like to welcome you to this edition of Pneumatica. In this episode, we will be discussing faith, the wisdom platform of the soul. And the scripture reference is going to be taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 12, which reads, "After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Menuhites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon, Tamar, that is, in Gedi.' Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord, in the front of the new courtyard, and said, 'O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nation. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, for will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.'" This is a very, very powerful passage. And I would have you to deeply consider what is going on at this point in the spiritual life of King Jehoshaphat. It would seem that he is facing a reversal of circumstances. That is, hitherto his life had known the prosperity of Yahweh, and now he is facing a reversal of those circumstances of prosperity. Faith is tested by Yahweh. The test of faith does not occur in a simulator. The test of faith takes place in real time and in real circumstances. Yahweh himself chooses the time and place. Nothing that happens within the space-time continuum is done without his direct will. Indeed, the most minute behavior of subatomic particles or the observable events in the realm of macromolecular entities are completely and comprehensively known by him. The knowledge of Yahweh encompasses the recesses of the human heart too. It is a heart that is tested by Yahweh. Although he already knows the contents of the heart, please see Psalm 139, it is through testing the heart that he reveals us to ourselves. Through the interrogation of testing, we are given access to who and what we are. The mystery of ourselves are exposed through the instrumentality of divinely ordained tests. We do not ask for tests, and generally, nor do we give Yahweh permission to test us, although David said, "Try me and test me." They come into our lives through the will of Yahweh without apology. Through Yahweh's permissive will, the Satan was allowed to test Job. Testing is a case study of spiritual character. Jehoshaphat had come to know this truth. The test prepared for him was frightening and fearful. A vast coalition military force had gathered against Jehoshaphat and his kingdom. It was a formidable force. It was designed to crush Jehoshaphat and his kingdom. The overwhelming host created an impossible situation for the king. It was certainly designed to confuse and cause bewilderment. Psychologically, the knowledge of such a host would generate self-conquering fear. Fear, the Greek word for fear is phobos. Fear is a paralyzing weapon. Fear generates inaction or creates inaction. Fear tutors the soul in what is lacking and in its inherent weaknesses. The primary assault upon faith is always the insistent probing for a breach in the wall of certainty. Once the weak spot is found, the hammering away begins with weapons specifically designed to create larger breaches in the whole in the wall of our faith profession. Fear can live in the tissues of the soul in a benign manner for years before it begins the mischief of systematic disintegration. Jehoshaphat understood that if he did not want to be intoxicated or paralyzed by inaction, he must work against his normal response. Everything from this point on must be counterintuitive. He must focus his mind upon God. His focus must be divine viewpoint, not his viewpoint. His mindfulness, if you will, must center not upon himself, but upon Yahweh. and how difficult this is for us to think about and consider that Jehoshaphat would be able to overcome himself and devote himself and his thoughts exclusively to God's thinking about the situation. The battle for a counterintuitive response while under spiritual attack requires the wisdom of self-mastery through the word of Yahweh. Jehoshaphat had acquired this level of spiritual maturity. Jehoshaphat was indeed a pneumatikos individual. That is, he was a spiritual one. He was brought up, as it were, to this level of spiritual maturity so that the test would show Jehoshaphat who and where he really was in his relationship with God. What the soul believes shapes the brain's behavior. What the soul believes shapes the brain's behavior. Neuroplasticity is an old science that is inherent in the biblical documents. What is new in the wisdom science of neuroplasticity are the technologies used to document its living discourse. We become what we behold. Jehoshaphat had committed his soul. In Hebrew, the word soul is lev or leb. He had committed his soul to divinely inspired wisdom science, that is, through the word of God. This crisis sent him into the database of divine wisdom stored in the cloud platform of his soul. You see, God provides an opportunity for us to grow in his word when we or our lives are at rest from crises. It is during that time that we build up our hearts in the word of God so that we can say that we have laid up the word of God in our hearts so that we might not sin against God through unbelief, through unfaithfulness, through being committed to human viewpoint instead of being committed to divine viewpoint. That is what God thinks. This is where the impossible situation is given over into the hands of Yahweh, the Creator. Jehoshaphat knew that this situation was designed to push him out of the well-worn grooves or tracks of human solution. Jehoshaphat's think tanks had no war game plan for a force of this magnitude on their shelves. And neither was there a highly skilled diplomatic envoy. Neither would a diplomatic envoy be the answer. Indeed, this coalition force had gathered together to crush all resistance and to wipe Jehoshaphat and his kingdom out. This test entered into the being of Jehoshaphat and bared its fangs in his soul. You see, this spiritual test was real. see, divinely devised spiritual tests are real. There is divine revelation involved in the test. And the test is always whether or not there will be complete dependency upon Yahweh, or if we will lean to our own or lean upon our own understanding, if we will lean upon human subjectivity. If when the crises or the test arises, will we go to a human counselor seeking an answer, or will we go to God? See, the test, as always, is a revelation of character. That is an unveiling of character. Now, there are those, it has been said, who think more of their reputation than their character. Obviously, in the case of Jehoshaphat, he saw more of his character than his reputation. As the leader of God's people, as the king over God's people, his primary allegiance must not be to himself and his wants and his desires. His primary allegiance must be to who God is and what God desires and how God sees the situation. Indeed, in eternity past, this test was specifically designed for Jehoshaphat in order to show his faith, and that is to test his faith. What God is looking for is that individual who understands that in spite of what is happening right now in the presence, he is in control, that God is in control, that whatever is going on with me has already passed divine review, and that nothing enters into my life that is outside of the permissive will of God. God wants faithfulness on my part. God wants to create in me a reliance upon him. God wants to create within me a soul that longs after his will alone. And so this is a very powerful time within the life of King Jehoshaphat. The king is either going to listen to the amygdala, that is the threat center of the brain, and its dual message of fight or flight, or the king is going to have to do some parallel processing about this highly menacing spiritual attack. Jehoshaphat chose not to allow sensory information about his circumstances to control his mind. You see, what my optic nerve intakes, or the information that is coming into me through the sensory apparatus, is that the amygdala, that is the threat center of my brain, teaches me or instructs me as to danger and what is going on. Is the danger or threat real, or is it imagined? And if there is real danger, then there is the release of adrenaline in order to move me to action. Indeed, much of the work that takes place in the amygdala has taken place outside of my conscious awareness in order to prepare me for the threat assessment or the threat that is within my immediate periphery. Jehoshaphat chose the latter. And through parallel processing, that is, considering what the sensory information he had received told him, and then thinking about the Word of God, through parallel processing, the king wisely chose to lean not upon his own understanding, that is, the sensory input about his situation. Counterintuitive to what is happening in his immediate world, something else is taking place in his spiritual world. That is, he flung himself prostrate on his face before Yahweh, who at once cast out to him an anchor for his soul. You see, the writer to the book of Hebrews talks about our faith as being an anchor of the soul so that we do not drift away. The anchor of the soul, that is the Word of God, keeps us tethered. When the rough waters come, when the storm threatens, when the skies are black overhead and the wind is howling and the sea becomes increasingly choppy and the waves break against our fragile vessel or boat with horrific force, and we are overwhelmed by the sensory input that we are receiving about our situation, as did the disciples upon the Sea of Galilee. And they went collectively to the Jesus who was in the boat asleep on a pillow. Jesus indeed was asleep in the will of God. But then they awoke him, and he arose, and he spoke the word of God and relieved them of their circumstances. There was an immediate cessation of those events that brought fear into the lives of the disciples. Jehoshaphat chose to listen to God. The king set himself to seek the Lord. The king cast his care upon God, for he knew that he cared for him. The fear, that is, that which is the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. This fear of God is appropriate and beneficial. The fear of the Lord is not dread. The fear of the Lord is appropriate and beneficial for us because this fear is the beginning of wisdom. That is, how to negotiate life from the divine viewpoint, how to negotiate life from the divine viewpoint. This was God's battle. Jehoshaphat gathered up his thoughts and committed them to concentrated attention upon God. He refused to allow the fear of the enemy to ensnare his soul. Fear always ensnares. Fear entraps us. Jehoshaphat refused to accept the idolatry of fear, the lordship of fear. He refused to bow to fear. He did not bow to the pitiless lordship of fear. He kept his soul within the green pastures of the Lord. The action of faith kept him from personal ruin. The action of faith on his part kept his kingdom from ruin. The action of faith strengthened his resolve to find in God his need for this impossible situation. Jehoshaphat also proclaimed a fast for both he and his countrymen. All Judah participated in the fast. Everyone had to be committed to seeking the Lord. All had to have the clarity of their collective plight. They would be victorious together or die together. They assured their victory by seeking the Lord together. They did not fight over some minor point of doctrine. They lived their doctrine loving one another and serving God together. A crisis had brought them together. Maybe we need a crisis to bring us together today. God was raised up by the king and by his people. The divine warrior was consulted and asked to arise and take the battlefield on their behalf. And the result was a wonderful story of grace under pressure. Pressure creates the most authentic action of faith. Pressure is always a treatise on fortitude. God was praised for the beauty of his holiness and lifted up in the most pure form of worship. The impossible battle was won through praise of the Most High. When the king's army took the field, the Lord was already there setting ambushes against the enemy. The Lord had sent the SEAL team from heaven. They were experts in setting traps for the impossible enemy. Jehoshaphat had sent in his spirit-filled choir. They filled the battlefield with praises as the Lord's SEAL team set the ambushes. This was the Waterloo of the enemy. God had taken the battlefield on behalf of those who called upon his name. The Lord is an experienced warrior. The Lord is an experienced warrior who brings to our battles his unparalleled experience as the divine warrior. When he arouses himself to go forth into battle as a highly skillful soldier. Beloved, today are you faced with an impossible foe with overwhelming power? You must do as Jehoshaphat had done. You must call upon the name of the Lord. The highest medicine for our afflictions is the word of God. The enemy had no idea what was going on in that battle, so much so that they slaughtered one another. They turned upon each other. And beloved, today, you and I need the Lord. Beloved, faith in Yahweh creates the wisdom platform of the soul. God bless you this day, and I'll see you next time on Pneumatikos.